It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Verrett. The start of the new year marks the beginning of new regulations in place for Wisconsin wedding barns.
Legislation passed by lawmakers in 2023 and signed into law by Governor Evers overhauls Wisconsin's alcohol laws. Event venues now are required to get a liquor license if they host more than six events per year that include alcohol.
Many wedding barn owners oppose the provision and say it would put a lot of them out of business.
Now, a bipartisan group of state lawmakers are proposing a bill to loosen these restrictions on event venues to help support the industry.
We're checking in with a wedding barn owner facing this challenge, along with a lawmaker trying to make a change.
Gene Bond is owner of Farmview Event Barn in Berlin, Wisconsin, and a director of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association Board. Gene, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you. Appreciate being asked.
Before we get into liquor licenses, can you tell us a little bit about the background of Farmview Event Barn and what you do on the farm?
Absolutely. We are a small to medium-sized farm, total of about 380 acres, and we do continue to farm cash crop. We got rid of our dairy herd and our dairy barn sat empty for nearly 10 years. One of our daughters decided she wanted to get married in the barn, which is my first exposure to barn weddings. I'd never heard of them before. And after her wedding went so well, we realized that this could really be a boon for our revenue stream here on the farm to be able to diversify our income. And that's when we did the extremely hard work of getting that converted into a place people can rent for their celebrations.
Oh, what did you have to do to the barn?
Well, it looked like the day the cows left. So we forked out by hand one entire summer, seven semi-loads worth of chopped straw out of the upper level. I spent the following winter in a scissor lift upstairs in the cold. When I would get done with work, I would go vacuum clean the dust off of the walls. We cleaned up the floor, sanded it, sealed it. We tried to keep everything as original and rustic as possible. Downstairs where the cows were, certainly there was a lot to clean up. After we got our permits locally through our county and everything, we went ahead and invested the money to put in restrooms inside and do a lot of the other things that we needed to do to make sure that we were a great place to have a celebration.
Turning to this new state law that went into effect January 1st, requiring event spaces like yours to have a liquor license if you serve alcohol at more than six events a year, why don't you want to get a liquor license?
Well, key to your statement there, we do not serve anything. We rent space. People have a private invitation-only event, and they provide refreshments for their guests, and this is Wisconsin. Everyone has been taught since birth that alcohol is a part of every celebration, so typically they bring alcohol. It is not a space I want to get into. Again, I'm family-owned. I do all the cleaning. I do the yard work. I do the flower planting. I already do enough. I don't have time to run. To me, that's a whole separate business, selling alcohol. It's nothing I have any experience with. When I started, I got reassurances from the Department of Revenue that it was perfectly legal to have a space rental for private invitation-only parties. That's what my business model was based on. I would have never started if I thought I had to have a liquor license. I don't want one now. I never did. I don't have anything to do with what people serve their guests for refreshments.
But have you looked into what that process would look like? What kind of efforts and costs would go into getting a liquor license for Farmview Event Barn?
Well, as I understand it, you need some additional infrastructure to keep products cold, things like that. My conditional use permit does not allow any additions to the building. I have to stay in my current footprint. I don't know where I would even put something like that. There seems to be a lot of vagueness, really, from people that I've heard from that are going ahead and getting one because they'll go bankrupt if they don't. Apparently, there's some other infrastructure, health issues, health sinks, and things like that. The cost in this particular township that I'm in, there is one reserve left. That's what you're forced to get then, is what's there. That's a $10,000 expense right there. Frankly, these people that are saying that we act like a tavern, We don't. We never have. And I think the pressures they're seeing on getting their spaces booked are more due to the saturation of the market. People have seen that these venues are popular. Many have been built new, but in the shape of a barn. Hmm. So I feel that too. But I still don't want to become a tavern just to be able to have more than six.
So as you look out and project here with 2026 ahead of you, what does business look like this year with the limitations that come from not having a liquor license?
Well, I'm limited to one event per month if the people that rent the space provide alcoholic refreshments. I do have those booked. By this time of year, ordinarily, I'd be booking into 2027. I don't have anything booked for that. I can still have other events as long as there's no alcohol, but there isn't a lot of interest in that from people that have contacted me looking for space.
So you're really bracing for a reduction in your profits, which actually affects the whole farm's bottom line.
It certainly does. And that's been heavy on my mind since our 25 season ended, is what am I going to replace this income with? What if we have another bad crop year? It's just my fixed expenses for the barn, my annual insurance costs, my garbage disposal fees. There's a lot of things that are going to stay the same. And with only six events to spread that cost out, is there even a profit?
We're talking about new regulations on the wedding barn industry in Wisconsin. And we have Jean Bond with her, owner of Farmview Event Barn in Berlin, checking in on this industry. Jean, one of the arguments in favor of this provision in the law is to apply some safeguards to an industry that doesn't have a lot of regulations. In a 2023 interview with WPR, the Tavern League referred to it as a Wild West that doesn't have to follow the same alcohol rules as others. And they were talking about wedding barn businesses. What do you make of that argument?
Well, I think it's a false narrative that, number one, when this law was passed, they told all the legislators that everyone involved agreed and said it was a win for all and a loss for none. No one ever contacted the barn venue. I don't think a lot of them know how we operate. By and large, most of us have already incorporated having licensed bartenders into our business model. We understand that that is the way to go. That's the safest way to do it. What this new law does, in addition to that, as far as making, how is it safer if they purchase alcohol from me and then I can have as many events as I want? Or the law already says, even for places like mine, you have to have a licensed bartender. 100% agree with that. That is a great part of Act 73. Many parts of Act 73 were. But since no one talked to us to see how we operate and to see what it would work best for us, the arbitrary selection of six events, one a month, is just absurd. And I don't know any other way to understand why that was selected other than to put us out of business.
You were involved in this lawsuit that challenged this aspect of the law that went into place. It was dismissed. What was your argument in that case?
The case actually argued the constitutionality. This law has quite a few exemptions of people who do the exact same thing. Rent space, rent private property, just like I do, and rent it to private individuals who bring in their own refreshments and have celebrations. The law exempted quite a few different entities from even having to get a permit. So the case was about the constitutionality of fair and equal laws that apply equally to everyone.
Can you give an example of an exemption here? What type of places might be exempt that are on private property and that would host a gathering?
Well, sporting clubs. I know there's one in our area that has a large area. And, you know, this isn't all weddings. It's birthday parties. It's graduation parties. It's things like that that a lot of other smaller types of places have. It isn't just barns either. But sporting clubs are exempt. They don't even have to get the permit. Tailgating, again, is exempt. But if you look at it, those people are doing exactly as I am. They are renting space on their property for people to come in and have private celebrations. So I know why they exempted it, because there would be quite the outcry in the state of Wisconsin if tailgating was included in this law. But it also excluded parking, any parking areas in any sports district. So Milwaukee, Dane County, and Green Bay area.
I want to jump in here. I'm sure that you have an eye on this bipartisan group of lawmakers who introduced a bill to try to ease up on the new restrictions, allowing up to 36 events per year with alcohol sales.
Right.
How much of a difference would that make for you?
Huge. That's more than what I typically had, but some venues we wanted to make sure and accommodate everyone. I mean, really, that's still only barely 10% of the available days in a year to operate, 36 out of 365. But at least if you wanted to stay small, you simply wanted to rent space, you didn't want to get into that retail space of selling alcohol, this would allow you to at least cover your costs and make some money doing it. We deserve to have income from it as much as anybody else with their businesses.
Have you heard of other event barn owners in Wisconsin that want to be like you, that want to stay small?
Absolutely. On paper, it may not look like it, because there are many who are absolutely going to go bankrupt and cannot afford to not get a liquor license. So just because they're being forced to get it doesn't mean that they want it. And there are many like that. They feel they're being forced to get into a business that they have absolutely no interest in.
Gene, if the law doesn't change, what does the long-term future look like for Farmview Event Barn?
It's bleak. I need to put the pencil to paper, and my fixed expenses are going to eat up most of what I'm making. The cost of the biannual permit was set now. It's a 6-page form. It's just like the form if you were selling alcohol. I just don't know how I can continue to do this amount of work for no profit, because at the end of the day, it is fun, but I do it to have enough extra money to make the farm work and to keep it in our family and not feel pressured to have to sell any land or anything. Mm-hmm. And honestly, my kids, I think, were really hoping to, this is something that interested them. It was something fun. And now that it's reduced like that and they have to think about maybe it's a different business than they were hoping, the future is very much questionable for myself. I know several owners who've already quit.
Gene, thank you for joining us for a look at this issue.
Well, thank you for asking about it. I'm just so thankful for these senators who have stepped up now and are trying to get this fixed. We're not trying to eliminate the regulations they put on us, but we just need to be able to keep doing what we're doing and doing it in a way that's profitable.
That is Gene Bonn, the owner of Farmview Event Barn in Berlin, Wisconsin, and director of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association Board. She was with us to share how her business is being affected by new liquor license laws regulating the wedding barn industry. Now we turn to a bill circulating in the state legislature that would roll back some of the restrictions on event venues like these by allowing them to hold more events each year without obtaining a liquor license. Democratic Representative Clinton Anderson of Beloit is one of the co-authors on the bill. Representative Anderson, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You voted no on the original assembly bill in 2023 that overhauled the liquor license laws in our state. And then these laws are now full in effect in 2026. Did you vote against them because of how they impact these private event venues like wedding barns?
Yes, there is a lot of good components of that bill. It overhauled the alcohol industry, but I couldn't vote for this because it was going to essentially shut down the entire wedding barn industry. And I heard from a lot of constituents that were concerned about that, and heard from a lot of folks who were worried about having affordable weddings and venue alternatives. So I couldn't vote yes on it, but there's some good, but it got me to a no based on the wedding barn issue.
And fast forward to today, you know, you and your colleagues have brought forward this bill to pretty much ease the new alcohol regulations on these private event venues like wedding barns. Have you heard from wedding bar owners in the state? What impact could this legislation make?
This would undo a lot of the damage that we're seeing take place right now. There's venues that are going to have to cancel weddings that were already booked, which you know, I just got married. I could not imagine having my wedding canceled at the last minute. So it would undo that. It would also set a limit of 36 events a year, which would be great for the wedding season. It also allows liquor in the venues, because right now under this law, they would not be able to. And you know, I can't imagine going to a Wisconsin wedding without having an old fashioned.
How did you settle on that number of 36 events per year as a new threshold that would be allowed without a liquor license? What went into that determination?
Just really looking at the wedding season, you know, it's, you know, April through about October, November. So really just broke it down how many events you could put in and gave a good number and landed on 36. This is significantly more and actually six times more than the allowed amount under the current law.
You know, we've heard from a farmer who really relies on these events and the wedding barn to support their overall farm income. What are your concerns about what would happen if this law isn't changed?
I think you're going to see farmers having to reassess if they want to continue to stay in the industry or sell their properties. And I think we all care about our farmers in the state of Wisconsin, and a lot of them relied on the extra income. I also want to make sure that if somebody wants to retire on the land, they can still have some income coming in year to year. And without this bill, it's going to be really tough for them to do that.
One of the arguments in favor of requiring these liquor licenses for wedding barns is a need for more oversight and regulation over who is serving alcohol, how it's being served. How would you alleviate those concerns if your bill brings back more events to these venues?
You could still revoke a no-sale event permit, you know, and with a Class B liquor license or Class B beer license, there are a bunch of hoops and hurdles that you'd have to cross to comply with that license. And a lot of our farmers don't want to fold into those things. They just want to have a space that's available for rent. And you know, Wisconsin's a state that loves their beer and alcohol. And, you know, if people want to have an event with a couple of drinks, they should be able to do it. And if there are an occasional bad actor, there is some, you know, mechanism to revoke that with the no-sale event permit. So this is a great compromise.
One of your Republican colleagues in the state Senate, Andre Jacques, signed on to this bill with you and other Democrats. Do you anticipate more bipartisan support? What will this look like as your bill circulates and as you seek signatures?
I hope we get more bipartisan support. I do appreciate that we do have a bipartisan bill from the get-go. We had a number of folks vote against this bill last session. Obviously, it wasn't enough to stop the bill, but we had a bipartisan group that was growing to oppose the bill because of this issue. So I hope the folks that voted no last time get on the bill. And I hope people realize now that we're talking about one specific component of that bill last session that we can all agree that, you know, we should stand up for our farmers.
As these laws are in full effect, what are you watching for in your district, specifically with the wedding barns in your area?
Just to see how can they make it? How are they able to even get by? Because that's a top concern we heard, is that six events is not enough to provide stable income. And you're also limited to one a month. So it really makes it tough for anyone to have some stable income if they want to retire or just have some extra money coming in while they're, you know, owning their farm.
Representative Anderson, thank you so much for joining us.
Not a problem. Appreciate it.
That was Democratic State Representative Clinton Anderson of Beloit. He was with us to share more details on a bill he co-authored that would roll back some new regulations on the wedding barn industry that went into effect January 1st. Earlier, we heard from Gene Bond, who owns the Farmview Event Barn in Berlin.